Imagine a leadership approach that doubles team engagement while reducing your own burnout. This isn't fantasy. It's the coaching revolution transforming organizations from Google to Microsoft. Traditional leadership is failing under modern workplace pressures. When targets loom and resources shrink, most leaders instinctively tighten control, creating a vicious cycle. Teams disengage, productivity plummets, and everyone burns out. Yet some leaders thrive by doing the opposite. Consider Amy, a security leader without technical expertise. When faced with a theft incident, rather than defending or dictating, she reframed it as a learning opportunity and trusted her regional manager to handle it. The results? Improved relationships, increased delegation, and flourishing innovation. Most surprisingly, Amy found greater confidence by valuing her team's expertise rather than pretending to be the technical expert herself. Her burden lightened while her team's performance soared. This paradox, gaining influence by releasing control, sits at the heart of coaching leadership. When you adopt a coaching approach, it spreads through your team like magic. This contagion effect transforms your entire team's operating system. People begin finding their own answers rather than waiting for direction. They engage in dialogue and view resistance as an opportunity to explore different perspectives. Coaching is contagious because it shifts interactions from constraint to possibility. Rather than stating, "Here's how we've always done it," you ask, "What possibilities do you see?" The first closes doors, the second opens them. Transitioning to coaching requires a fundamental shift in how you view leadership, embracing a new identity, not just acquiring techniques. Outstanding coaching stems from generosity, creating growth in others by shifting focus from task completion to capability development. Four essential qualities underpin this shift. First, vulnerability, showing up authentically without having all the answers. When Jack became a manager of managers, acknowledging his limitations built deeper trust. Second, empathy, taking others' perspectives and connecting emotionally. Third, humility, embracing curiosity instead of certainty. Leaders typically default to telling rather than asking, but relationships need the slower cadence of two-way interaction. Fourth, appreciation, communicating that people's contributions matter. Together, these qualities create a presence that reflects possibilities rather than directing outcomes. To be an effective coach, shift from solution provider to potential enabler. In football, you keep your eye on the ball. In coaching, you keep your eye on the person. Listen deeply to how they understand their challenge rather than rushing to offer solutions. Ask how they see their problem, what they've tried, and where they're stuck. Even when you know potential solutions, help them find their own way forward. Coaching differs from managing, mentoring, and consulting in its power dynamics and focus. Managing provides solutions with high power differential. Consulting offers solutions with moderate power. Mentoring develops with moderate power. Coaching develops with minimal power differential. Use mental cues like imagining putting on a different hat to transition between styles. The payoff is substantial. Coaching builds trust through competence, benevolence, and integrity. Only about 1/5 of employees feel they receive helpful feedback or motivating management. By providing air cover, supporting team members during challenges, you show them you have their backs, allowing difficulties to become learning opportunities rather than mistakes. Effective coaching requires mental agility, the ability to shift between perspectives like a kaleidoscope, creating different patterns with the same pieces. This flexibility helps you stay present and model adaptable thinking. The most powerful tool is shifting between three distinct perspectives. First position, I, focuses on your subjective experience using I feel and I think language. Second position, you, represents empathy, putting yourself in another's shoes with language like, I notice you are, I hear you say. Third position, we, allows neutral observation using phrases such as, it seems that, we might assume. As a leader, your attention should distribute approximately 15% in first position, 50% in second, and 35% in third. When actively coaching, second position may occupy up to 75% of your attention. Our effectiveness is often limited by thought hooks, negative loops preventing positive change. The key is evaluating thoughts for helpfulness rather than truth, allowing us to pause, notice triggers, and choose our response. Mastering coaching conversations requires two fundamentals: psychological safety and open questions. Psychological safety creates an environment where team members can take interpersonal risks without fear, like a safety net for trapeze artists that encourages people to contribute ideas without punishment for speaking up or making mistakes. For people to feel safe, five fundamental human needs must be met: I matter, I belong, I'm enabled, I contribute, and I'm respected. With safety established, open questions become your most powerful tool. Questions function like funnels. Open questions create expansion, while closed questions cause contraction. Open questions, beginning with what, where, how, who, and when, allow coachees to take ownership and expand their thinking. Closed questions, starting with have, will, did, must, and leading questions, shut down possibilities. Use why questions carefully, as they can trigger defensiveness. Instead of why did you approach it that way, try what factors influenced your approach to maintain openness while reducing defensiveness. Coaching thrives in spontaneous everyday moments, like the improvisational flow of a jazz band. Leaders who claim they lack time for coaching misunderstand their role. Getting work done through others is precisely where coaching happens most effectively. When team members approach with questions, resist solving problems for them. Instead, ask, "What have you already tried?" or "What information do you need to answer this yourself?" These questions reveal context and identify possibilities. Like geese flying in formation, effective coaching follows coherent question lines rather than random inquiries. Stay with each line until reaching its conclusion, putting aside your ego to align with the coachee's direction. Feedback, though often equated with criticism, is essential for improvement. Good feedback has a clear business purpose, is based on observation, is specific, timely, and performance-focused. When giving feedback, accept all responses, even resistance, which is often just a step on the path to acceptance. The ultimate goal is creating an everyone coaches culture that balances current results with future readiness. A coaching style fosters a flexible, purpose-driven environment where people embrace change and remain agile, transforming hierarchies into dynamic learning environments. This culture exists when senior leaders practice coaching, ask open questions instead of dictating solutions, and encourage feedback exchange. The best examples occur when leaders coach their teams, establishing, "This is how we do things here." The approach becomes pervasive. Team members coach bosses, peers coach each other, and coaching conversations happen naturally throughout the organization. Creating circles of coaching advocates who meet regularly helps leaders maintain their own development. By embracing coaching leadership, you're creating a legacy that equips everyone with tools for success, building an organization that can adapt amid complexity. The greatest leadership power comes not from having all the answers, but from helping others find their own.